It's from Psalm 92:1. Would you please stand so we can do that?
My all in all, near the love of God. Well, good morning, everybody. And it was with a lot of delight that when I came in, someone said to me, "Welcome home." And I said, "Yes, it's good to be home." If you've noticed the poll outside, I'll share about that in a while. So that I'll keep you on your edge. You know, how to keep us humble. I just want to thank the Lord and praise Him. Thank you so much for praying for Lori and I as we were at the Keswick Pastors Conference this last week. And then at the end of the week, I ended up at a Man Up conference that was hosted at Calvary at Soderton. And so I feel like I've had a great week of not only refreshment, but just tremendous teaching. And I feel like I've been trying to drink out of a fire hydrant, you know what I mean, with God's word and truth. And so that just gives me excitement. And speaking of which, our church theme, if you're visiting us for the first time, our church theme this year is growing in the life we were made to live. We are rooted in Christ and we're abiding stronger in Him. And we have two church verses this year. And we've got John 15, verse 5, which is over here on the right side. So everybody over here, who can see that verse, you read with me. We're going to read this verse for the whole congregation. So you got to read it out loud. Okay, here we go. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." We are so needy, but God is so merciful, and He is so wondrous for us. We try to live our lives without Christ, and it just doesn't work, does it? Some of you know that coming in here this morning. This side of the room, we're going to read our second verse, John 15, verse 16, and this is the good news. You did not choose Him. Guess what? He what? Chose you. Ready? Here, we're going to read this side. Ready? "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." There's a tremendous amount of great theology, good theology for all of us in that verse. First of all, it's His idea. You are His idea. He chooses you. You are guaranteed to bear fruit when you abide in Him. What fruit is God going to give you this year? And also, you have the in when it comes to prayer. When you pray and when you give your heart to the Lord, He will answer if you ask according to His will and for His glory. Don't forget those two things. A lot of people forget, you know, they think, why doesn't God answer my prayer? And the reason is that we don't ask according to His will. Usually it's our will, right? And our will's not a good will. It's not a good will. It's a bad will. I'm just thinking of the good wills. You go to a good will. Okay. Have you ever been to a bad good will?
No.
Well, I have. So, all right. So there are some bad good wills out there. But anyway, so you ask according to the will of the Father through Jesus' name. And then secondly, it's for His glory, not our wants, but it's for His glory. We've been praying and we've seen a lot of answers to prayer. And I just want to take this time, and we're going to go before the Lord in prayer together. And I just want to encourage you. What is God doing in your life to grow deeper roots? What is God working in your heart this morning to grow deeper in Himself? And so as we go to prayer, this is what I want you to do. If you are near somebody and you feel comfortable enough, I would like you to hold hands. If you don't feel comfortable with holding hands to the guy next to you, I get that. You don't have to. Just, you know, put them in your pocket and go like this. But in your heart, you're stretching your hands out there, because I want you to be thinking about the people that's on your left. I want you to be thinking and praying for the people that's on your right. I want you to be praying for someone in front of you. Okay. So we're going to go before the Lord in praise. Our Father, we come before you. You are magnificent. You are wonderful. You are our gracious God and Father, the God of all grace and truth and mercy. And we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Great is your faithfulness. Father, we praise you that you are also the God of the impossible, that you can do all things. That you promise us in your word that you're going to do, and that we can come before you and we can know that you are a good God. If only we would, as the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So often, Father, we, in our stubbornness, in our disobedience, we kind of look like small children sitting at the dinner table and hearing the food is good, take a taste and see how good it is, but we kind of fold ourselves inward and we think, this is not going to be good for me. And we don't depend on you, nor do we trust in you by faith, that the things that you bring into our lives are good things. Father, there are many who come to the house of the Lord and they are bringing sacrifices of praises, even as we sang. And there's some that are rejoicing in the Lord and finding their strength in him. But not everybody comes to church with that heart. Some of us come to church because we're desperate. Some of us come to church because we're broken. Some of us even don't want to be here. And so, Father, we are going to lift up our prayers before you and thank you for bringing us here today so that you could teach us something good about you. Something that is going to enrich our lives, something that you need us to have. Thank you for Jesus, who is our rescuer, who rescued us for our salvation. Thank you for the Spirit of God that indwells and it teaches us and comforts us, and that the Spirit of God's voice is a nurturer voice that brings the truth of God around our hearts and our souls. And so, Father, we pray that today. Lord, we just want to pray for those that are here as your people. And if you would just take a moment and you pray for the person on your left. I'm going to pause and just ask you in the quietness of your heart to pray for the person on your left. You might not know what to pray for them. You might not have an idea of what to pray for them, but you just pray that they would be able to know Jesus is the true vine today, or that there'd be something in their heart that they would receive from the Lord that they need. To do that. And then, Lord, we do lift up that person on our left before you. Whatever their needs are, whether it's sorrow, whether it's sickness, whether it's pain, whether it's discouragement, whether it is something in their heart and their life that they are working through or struggling through, Father, we just ask that you would bring good into their lives because you are a good God. And Father, now I'm going to ask you, pray for the person on your right. Pray for the person on your right. Just take a few moments and do the same thing. Pray for them. Did you do that? And so, Father, we thank you for the person that's on our right, Lord, that, Lord, I just pray that you would bring your strengthening. I pray that you would bring the whisper of the still small voice of the Spirit of God to them through the word. I pray that you would bring encouragement. Allow them to forget about something that they brought in here with them today. Help us, as the song says, forget about ourselves and magnify the Lord and praise his name. And now I'm asking you to pray for someone in front of you. I don't know who it is. It might be the person in the seat in front of you, and you may know them or you may not know them, but you just pray for them. You just pray that the Spirit of God would be working in their hearts and lives today with his active, alive, living word, Acts 4:12, in their heart and their life, and bringing a blessing and a teaching to their lives today that they need. Would you do that? And so, Father, as we lift up our hearts and our lives, we, as a church, we want to also pray for Jeanette Cooper. And thank you, Father, that you got her through a second surgery on her foot. this week, and I just pray that you would continue to bless her as she's in the hospital, and just pray, Lord, that you would be with Ben and Bob and their needs as a family, and that you would continue to help them and strengthen them during this time. We also pray that you would be with Glenn Reinrich. Lord, I just pray that you would lift his heart, keep his eyes upon you. Don't let him be discouraged. Don't let him be fearful. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring your strength to him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I pray that you would be with their whole family. Lord, there are several families in the community that have had death of loved ones that were mentioned to me, and they're not members of our church, but they are known in the community. And we would pray, Lord, that those who are going to be attending those services would take the light of Jesus Christ with them and the love of Christ in such a tangible way that they would be able to reach into their lives. And then, Father, we just thank you so much that as a nation that you are working in our lives. We see the news, we see the shootings, we see the accidents and the crashes and things that continue to happen. And we wonder, Lord, how can any good come out of this? But we're in such a fallen world of sin, and that is, we don't always know those answers, but Father, we just thank you that you are, as Romans 8:28, working all things for the good of those who love God to make us more like Jesus Christ. So Father, thank you that nothing's going to touch the life of a believer that you don't design it. And so, Father, we just want to lift up our love to you today, Deuteronomy 6:5, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our souls and all our minds, with all our affections, all our emotions and everything that's in us, with all our might, Father. We want to be able to lift you up and worship you. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. 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 Well, I have the joy of introducing to you my new best friend, Nathan. He's probably sitting there going, I didn't know I was his best friend. But you are, brother. Nathan is, is it safe to say that you're the newest staff yes. member over at Haycock? You came up a year ago, yes. right?
Yeah.
About a year ago.
Yeah.
Nathan, he was in a pastoral ministry. Where were you at before?
Ohio. And then Arkansas for a little bit.
Okay. And then he brought his family and his to this area to work as the director for the Stand Ministry. And those of you who don't know what the Stand Ministry is, you're going to know. Okay. So we support Camp Haycock, and they have their display out there. We have a wonderful offering dish out there so that you can give love offering this morning. And I'm going to have Nathan come. And as he's coming, I'm going to dismiss kids for Children's Church. So Nathan's going to come and share his ministry with us, and the kids are dismissed at this time for Children's Church. So,
come on up, brother.
Leave it down there. Good morning. So good to be with you this morning. Thank you to Pastor Corbin. I'm okay with being your best friend. That's great. Pastor Corbin's always such a big encouragement, a voice of encouragement. Whenever, I'm sure when you're around him, I'm sure whenever I'm around him, he's just so helpful and joyful and encouraging for me personally and for our camp. And we're thankful for you as a church and the support that you do give to us in many ways. I know financially you support us, also manpower and volunteering and helping and kitchen and music and all sorts of different things at Camp Haycock, and we're so thankful for that. We want you to know that, that we recognize you and the work that you're doing, and it's helpful in taking forth the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so we thank you for that. This morning, I wanted to just share a little bit about the STAND program and give you a little update on camp. I'm here with my family. Katrina over here is my wife, and then I have six children. Here, and then there's one who's arriving in March. So we'll have number seven. Yeah, we're praising the Lord for that. We're also praying that it's the number of completion. but we're glad to be with you this morning. I also brought four of our interns with us. We have six currently. Two aren't able to be with us this morning, but we have four. You'll meet Jonathan and Aiden in a moment in the front row over here. Noah can wave. He's in the back. And Tyler is being a loner this morning, but he's over here. We're glad that they're with us as well. You'll hear from us from a couple of them in a minute. So, yeah, I'm here from Haycock Camping Ministries. You also are very connected to Haycock as well, because one of our other staff members comes to church here, Tracy, and we're thankful for her and all the work that she does at camp. We're neighbors, of course, geographically. We're just up the road, 10 minutes, and I'm sure many of you have been to our camp facility. And I just think about what Haycock does. It provides Christ-centered camping experiences that lead individuals to Jesus Christ and train them to serve Him. That's our goal, and that's what we strive very hard to do. And we're also seeking to grow boys into godly men through transformational outdoor experiences. We love the outdoors at Camp Haycock. We have 185-ish acres that we get to play around on and have a good time with. And primarily, Camp Haycock is a boys' camp. It has historically been so. We do have some things for girls as well. We have a girls' week. We have weekend activities like mother-daughter, father-daughter. So there are things for girls as well. Our day camp is co-ed. But primarily, our focus is on young men, and we desire to see them grow into godly men. If you, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, if you have any interest in knowing what exactly goes on in terms of programs at our camp, on our table out here in the lobby, we have spring activities, summer camp activities, and all the information that you might want for that. We have things for day camp, we have overnight camp, age 7 all the way up to 18. So a very broad range of activities available for children and teens. And so I encourage you to check that out and see what's going on. Take some informational brochures with you when you go. So this is the STAND program. And the word STAND, where does that come from? It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 13 and 14, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all you do be done in love. So we take the word stand right out of that verse where it says stand firm in the faith. And how important is this in our culture today to have men that are watchful, they're on alert, they're standing firm in the faith, they're not wavering, they're not wandering, they're promoting the word of life. Without condition. They're strong, right? That's actually kind of hard for men to do in our society today. It's not well looked upon, but we're supposed to be strong and also doing it all in love, which is an important characteristic that goes with all of that. And so our goal with the STAND program is to take young men in between the ages of 18 and 24 and for a whole year just invest and pour into their lives, whatever ways that we can. The program is a life-changing opportunity for young men at Haycock Camping Ministries that challenges the body, the mind, and the soul. And it does do all of those things, and I'll talk about some of that. To be well-rounded followers of Jesus. The goal of STAND is to prepare young men for a life of faithful love and service to God, their families, their churches, their communities, and the world. All of that, very important. So my job at Haycock is to lead the STAND discipleship program. I coordinate the schedules of the interns. I do all the recruiting and some of the teaching of them. I try to keep them out of trouble. They try to get me into trouble. And it's just a fun little turnaround that goes there. And just a little background on myself. I was raised in a Christian home in Michigan. My dad was involved in ministry, still is. He's a pastor right now in Ohio. And I just grew up with thinking nothing other than I'm a Christian and that's the way I should be. But I do remember at a very young age, probably I think age 4, I personally said and came to the understanding that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior. And that Savior was Jesus Christ. And I placed my trust in Jesus Christ and His work that He did for me as He died on the cross for my sin and He rose from the dead. And that changed my life, and it put me down the path to where I am today. As I grew up older, I got into the high school years. I got very interested in politics. I don't know why, just did. And that kind of consumed me for a while. I decided I needed to go to a school to get a degree, political science. I did that. Graduated from Hillsdale College with a degree in political science and was going to go to law school, but as I was really prayerfully considering next steps, The Lord just gave a conviction to me that I didn't need to go to law school, but I needed to go to seminary. Okay. I left Michigan. I actually ended up in Dallas, at Dallas Seminary. I was in the Dallas campus for a year. Then I went to Houston campus for a couple of years and finished up my master's degree there. And I still didn't exactly know what God was doing with all of this. But my time in seminary was super impactful to me because even though I had a strong upbringing, even though I was sound in the faith, I didn't know everything. And I still don't know everything. But there were a couple of guys in Houston who were actually professors at the school I was at who basically brought me into their home, adopted me, invested in me, discipled me. And that became very transformational in my life as I had all this foundational stuff, but they began to help me at this age when I'm really starting to consider the faith for myself in a very serious way and what that means for my future. They started helping me put puzzle pieces together for how this life is supposed to look and work in accordance with God's word. And so I remembered that as I went from there and remembered how important these men were in my life, and I wanted to be able to do that for others somehow, in some way. And so also in Houston, even more importantly than that, I met my beautiful wife, Katrina, and she's been following me around ever since. So that's been good. From Houston, I was assistant to a pastor of a large church right outside Houston, and they partnered with a little church up in Taos, New Mexico, and they sent me there and said, hey, help this church. They had about 12 people, and they said, you're in charge of revitalizing this, and obviously that was a work of God, not of me, but we partnered there for 3 years. We'd agreed to be there for 3 years, and it's going very well still today. But after our 3 years was done, we went to Ohio to be near to my family as a pastor at a church in Ohio for 5 years. And during that time, it just really grew in my heart the desire to work specifically with young men. Because as I, in my pastoral role, looked around, not just in our church, but in our community, and then in the various places we've been in our country, and saw a very large gap when it comes to training young men. And I hope to maybe be a small part of helping fill that gap in some way. And so the Lord just opened up doors eventually for the job at Haycock. I sent in an application when I heard about it. And the next day, Dave Steinson, the director, called me. And a few months later, we were there. And we're super excited to be there. We've been there just a little over a year now. And God has been good. So now I'm working with the STAND program, and it's a one-year discipleship program, although technically speaking, discipleship is not a program. It is the lifestyle that Christians are to have, right? Our hope is that we can just get guys started down that path and thinking about it and growing through our time here. But I was reminded in Titus chapter 2, it says this, "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith and love and perseverance." I don't feel the need to necessarily go through and explain all of those words. I'll leave that to Pastor Corbin, but you see older men are involved here, right? And what are older men doing? They are teaching younger men by their life and how they believe. And it says older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. So now you got old women, you've got older women, you've got young, you got young women, you've got older guys. Where do the younger guys come into this? It says, it's verse 6, likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. And that's it. I found that's amusing. Older men, they have 6 things they're supposed to work on. Older women, 5. Younger women, 7. Younger men, 1. And it's sober-mindedness, sensible, disciplined. Why do you think he's emphasizing that 1? Probably because that's the thing that younger men struggle with a lot, right? If young men could be disciplined, the rest of it would take care of itself, right? And so we're all about helping these young men be disciplined at Stand and helping them grow in the faith. But I bring that out because all of us should be involved in discipleship somehow, whether you're learning or you're teaching, or should be both. You got someone helping you learn. You have someone helping you grow. You're maybe helping someone else grow. But that's the lifestyle of the Christian person. It is the heartbeat of the church, is passing on our faith to the next generation. And so we're part of that at Haycock, but we also, I just encourage you all to say, hey, how can I be part of this discipleship process in my own life? So the eligibility, who can come to be part of Stand as a intern? It's men ages 18 to 24 that are eligible. And there are really only two requirements to get into Stand. It's not too difficult. Well, the first one might be difficult because the way is narrow, but it's that you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the second one is that you desire to grow. That's it. You believe in Jesus Christ, you desire to grow. If you have those two things down, the rest can follow. And so if you know anyone, by the way, who is a young man, 18 to 24, who might want to do something like Stand, please give them the information. I've got information flyers out in the lobby. And I'd say anybody should do this. Everybody should do something like this. It's not, in our culture, it's a very rare thing to be able to take an entire year and devote it to growth. Very rare thing. And I encourage every young man, I think, someone coming out of high school, who shouldn't do a one-year internship program? I can't really think of anyone. Unless the only would be like, hey, you have a scholarship that you're going to lose or something. That certainly would be a consideration. But it's just profitable for everyone to do at least something like this. In Stand, the intern experience is knowing. That's growing, but also going. Knowing, growing, and going. Knowing. How do we emphasize knowing at Stand? Well, the most important thing is through the Word. We do many Bible studies together. We have a number of them throughout the year. We start with just going chronologically through Scripture and looking at how all of Scripture is tied together. There's one cohesive story that talks about God and His Son, Jesus, and how we can have access to the Father through the Son. And it all points to that. We have a study right now that we're doing called Every Man a Warrior, and that's focusing on discipleship and how we can be involved in that process. We're going to be working through the books of 1 and 2 Peter together, just verse by verse. And so we do lots of things like that in the knowing category. We also have college courses that we have all interns do. Every once in a while, we'll have an intern who maybe isn't academically able to be in the college course, but we have them audit it, and they still participate in the coursework in that way. But there are three classes that we do through Anchor Christian University, and I teach two of the courses, and then Dave Steinson's dad, Dick Steinson, actually teaches one of our other course. But the three courses that we have are useful for everybody, so regardless of whether someone is going to go on to college or not, these things will be helpful in their life. One is just how to study the Bible. One is personal wellness, how to take care of yourself physically. And then one is on finances and how to be a good steward of the things that God has given to you. So we focus on those in the college coursework. And then we have plenty of personal assessments as we have the guys to start thinking through who you are, who it is that God created you to be. What are your personality traits? What are you good at? Etc. And how can you use these things to glorify God for the rest of your life? So we work through those things as well. And that's the knowing and the growing. We want them to grow physically, mentally, spiritually, and relationally. Physically, we have them develop workout programs and do them. The first semester, starting in September, the program starts on Labor Day, so the very beginning of September, and it goes all the way through the middle of August. We have three kind of sections. We have the September to Christmas, and then from January to June, and then summer camp. They help at the summer camp. They just help with summer camp, which is nonstop busyness. So they're very helpful with all that as camp counselors, or they run different activities, etc. So they have those three little divisions. The first division, though, we're preparing for half marathon. So everyone runs a half marathon. We run that in Philly in November. So all six of our current interns ran the half marathon. I ran it with them. I beat some of them. I won't say who. Gotcha, Noah. No, okay. He's not paying attention. But it was good. Now, they all did really well. Some guys come in with zero running experience. I know we had an intern last year who, over the course of the STAND program, lost 90 pounds, and he needed to, and it was a really big blessing in his life to be able to do that. We challenged them physically. After the half marathon, then they start doing lifting or whatever things that they enjoy, that we want them to be able to put together things that they will enjoy doing so that they'll continue to do it after the program is over. And growing mentally, spiritually, relationally, we challenge them again with the college courses. We challenge them with their Bible studies. We purposefully point out things in their life that they could grow in. We have one-on-one mentoring that each guy is paired with a mentor, and they just work with life issues together, whatever comes up. And then also relationally, we have them do things that they don't want to do with other people. One is living with five other guys. I don't know how many of you remember dorm life or anything like that, but that's not always fun. But they get to learn how to do that and cook and go grocery shopping and do the laundry and all those sorts of things. Some of them guys come in all ready to do that, and some have never done that in their life. And by the end of STAND, sometimes they can do it. Depending on who it is. But it's just a fun experience for them. And then also they're involved in all of our full-time staff meetings, our weekly meetings, and they get to see kind of the inside view of how organizations work. And it really helps them grow, and then they get to do things like this morning, where a couple of them will share briefly. That's the growing and then going. We do missions trips. We have one every year to the Kensington area of Philly. We just got back from that one, actually, and have the guys serve there on the streets and share the gospel with people and just pray with them and help a ministry that's there. And then also one overseas missions trip. We typically go to Belize, and they'll be headed out to that in March for a trip where they help a local pastor in Belize just with whatever ministry things he needs help with. And it's a big blessing to be there. We have plenty of serving activities that go on throughout the year. We helped someone re-roof a building this year, and just there are local ministries that we help with, Bible clubs, et cetera, things like that. We have job shadowing that takes place. As we figure out where the guys are thinking they might want to go, and as they prayerfully consider these things after STAND, we set them up with opportunities to job shadow in those areas to make sure that, you know, that's something that they are indeed interested in, et cetera. So that just brings me back to, you know, the purpose of STAND. Really the purpose of Haycock Camp is growing boys into godly men. And we created STAND in 2016, before my time is when it started, but it was kind of the next logical step in this process of helping boys become godly men, because when you get to the 18 to 24-year-old stage, that's when guys begin to formulate their own thoughts, their own path, their own direction, and we wanted to be part of helping them do that in a godly way. So we have a couple of them I'd like to just come share just real briefly, just about who they are, why they're at the stand. I think I'll have Aiden come up first, so come on up here, Aiden. And he's so excited to do this morning. And he's going to share with you just for a second.
Oh. Hello. So my name's Aiden Williamson. And like he said, obviously I'm one of the interns this year. I'm from the South Turner, Telford area, and about 5 years ago, probably a little over 5.5 years, me and my family moved down to Southwest Florida. So that is where I live now. And and I joined the STAND program mostly because I wanted to find a path of direction in my life. I wanted to grow my faith and build a close relationship with God, which I didn't previously have, and still very much working on. But slightly similar to Nathan, I grew up in a Christian home, and it was, you know, very easy for me to learn about God and go to Sunday school and everything, being surrounded by that, going to church every Sunday. And so probably roughly around the same age, about 5 or 6, I remember sitting down with my dad and having that conversation and praying to God to forgive me for my sin and that believing that he died on the cross for me. But I didn't really, I guess being that young at that age, I didn't really understand the full weight or gravity to his sacrifice and wasn't really living for the Lord pretty much at all up until the past couple years, I guess, since I was 16 or 17, where I really started to understand more so the weight of it and the truth to the Bible. And then back over this summer, over the previous summer, back in August, I was just working at a regular old grocery store, just working for the past couple years since high school. And like I said, wanted that path of direction for my life. And so that's when very late to get in to meet Nathan. But because the application process takes a couple months and I didn't get to call Nathan until 2 weeks before the starter stand. my younger brother recently did the LGP, the Leadership Growth Program at Haycock. And so when he came back from that, from the summer, he introduced me to Stan. And so that's when I made a very quick decision after praying about it and thinking about it, talking over with my parents to give Nathan a call, and very luckily got accepted. And so far, like Nathan said, we've done the half marathon in Philly, done the college courses on finance and health, and getting to study the Bible more deeply. And then been very excited for the mission trips coming up in Belize, getting to learn about that and getting to experience that. Should be very fun. And then also the trip we took to Kensington, which you just mentioned, was very eye-opening to get to see what's going on down there. And then I'll be going to Arkansas towards the end of March with my job chattering opportunities with connections that Nathan has with a couple of buddies he has down there. I'll be shadowing a guy in real estate and different house inspections and stuff like that, so I'm excited to do that. And so that's a little bit about me and what I've done so far and what I'm going to do. So thank you.
Share it now too.
Hey, my name is Jonathan Jameson. I'm from Brenham, Texas, originally, like an hour outside of Houston. And we're family friends with Nathan and Katrina, and so that's kind of how I got connected with the STAND program. I guess just to give a little bit of a story about myself and why I'm here. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was saved around the age of 12, but didn't ever really seek out to grow in my relationship with the Lord, and was kind of pursuing my own dreams and desires and career and everything. Going through high school, I graduated high school with an associate's in welding, and I was working at a local manufacturing plant. And through some Christian family friends and other people I knew, I was kind of faced with the decision of, like, I either keep living for myself, pursuing my own career and desire, or I need to make a change and live for the Lord. And I made that change, and I got baptized and was trying to figure out the next direction for my life. And that's when I found the STAND program through Nathan. And, so since I've been here at the STAND program, we got to do a lot of cool things, like Nathan and Aiden already said. We done some Bible studies, methods class, studying like how to better study the Bible, one-on-one discipleship time with the staff members, ran the half marathon, and I did beat Nathan. We got to go on a four-night winter hike, which was really fun, up in northern Pennsylvania. We got to go down to Kensington just last week, which was really cool to help the people on the streets and share the gospel with them and help them get need. And then coming up, we'll get to go on a mission trip to Belize, and me and Aiden will get to go do a job shadowing in Arkansas. I wanted to share one verse with y'all. I'm sure you're familiar with it, but Matthew 6, 31 to 33, it says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and the Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So that's kind of my reason for doing Stand, and I feel like I'm able to seek him more while I'm here. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Aiden and Jonathan. So the other four interns have similar stories, and it's just neat to see how God's working in their lives this year. Yeah, Jonathan, I was just chugging along in that half marathon. Everything was swell and dandy, and I was just flying. And then I hit mile 8, and I was old, and my leg stopped working. And Jonathan goes, phew. He went by so fast I couldn't even say his name. He was gone. But I saw him a long while later, at the finish line. So anyway, this is kind of the accommodations, just so you can see a little bit of our Stand cabin. The guys stay in the upper portion of that building, and there's four bedrooms, two beds in each room, two bathrooms, a little kitchen area, and whatnot. And it's a blessing to have that facility, and the guys use it well. Some of the pictures of things that we do here. So that's kind of what Stand's about, and we're thankful to come share about it again this morning, and thankful again for your support. I thought I might mention a few praises and a few prayer requests that you guys could remember for us. We would love that. We're just praising the Lord this year. Our director, Dave Sionson, had mentioned earlier in the year, our attendance totals from 2010, he mentioned just 432 people were served by Camp Haycock during the summer camp. And then in 2024, 1,278 people were served. So in that time period, the Lord has just really brought more and more people to us so we could share the gospel with them and help them grow. So we're really praising the Lord for his work in that way. In Stand specifically, it started in 2016, and since 2016, there's been between one and four interns, and the desire was always to get it to six, and the Lord made it happen this year for the first time. Six interns, the program is full, and then as we look into next year, which the next class will start in September, we already have six guys signed up, and we're actually talking about the possibility of if more interested in expanding it a little bit beyond that. So the Lord's just taking care of all of those things and blessing us, and we're thankful for it, and we want to praise him for how that is happening at Camp Haycock. Some prayer requests. Just keep praying for these guys as they grow, as they make decisions for the future. Pray for our staff at Haycock. There's some small transitions taking place as one staff member moves on and a new one is up and coming, and we're figuring out different roles for people. So, but keep praying for the summer that many children would come and hear the gospel and be transformed by it. And then also, I don't know if any of you have noticed, but there are some signs out in the neighborhood. And so there's a little bit of a thing going on with our desires to grow. We submitted a 30-year growth program for our property to the township, and as is often the case in these situations, not everyone likes the growth, and so there's some opposition to that. But the township did approve the plan. However, they approved it with 32 conditions, and some of those we certainly will abide by. Some of them we are appealing because they're very restrictive. The couple of them that are, for me personally, a little bit eye-catching is that they only want us to have, I think, 4 full-time staff members on property year-round. We already have that. Now one's, I think we're maxed out now because one is moving off. But in any case, I'm one of those people on there, and I'd like to stay. And I know Tracy would like to stay. And so we certainly pray that that could get changed. And then also they've said that we can't have any year-round programs, which that gets rid of Stand. So we're praying that the Lord will get rid of that as that restriction as well. We have a court date on in March. So the previous proceedings were all political, right? But the next ones will be legal. And so we're just praying that the legal judgments will be in accordance with the law, and we will certainly follow whatever it says. And we want to, we're praying for our neighbors. We desire to be as Christ-like towards them as possible. But at the same time, our main calling is to take forth the gospel. And we're going to continue forward as the Lord sees fit and in accordance with his will. But please be praying for those things as we move forward. And again, I just want to thank you for allowing me to come this morning, Pastor Corvin. I'm glad to give you an update. We'd love to talk to you more about any questions you may have out in the lobby afterwards or wherever. And be sure to pick up some more informational pamphlets and things that we have out there. So again, thank you. God bless you. And Pastor Corvin or whoever may come.
Thank you very much, Nathan. It's good to have your family here. And I don't know if you're aware, you have a 2016 graduate here. He moved. He rotated. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a proud mama. Sorry. I'm pulling a pastor. Yeah. That it's an amazing program, and to see how much it's evolved over the past 8 years is just marvelous. And we're so glad that you're all here. Would you just please stand and let's sing together.
Is Christ.
Ask the deacons and Tom if he would join me this morning for our communion time. Good morning. Who don't we have?
Tom and Kyle. We're on the list.
Where are they at? Well, come on, guys. We're gonna pull Josh in for the first time. Are you able to come on up, Patrick? Do you want to join us? This will be Patrick's first time, too. Well, I didn't know where you were, so I already called him up. Come on, Patrick. Patrick's going to take. All right, you guys have a seat. Okay, have a seat. All right. Always be praying. Make sure that after the service today that you seek out these guys and thank them, especially the guys that gave their testimonies. You know how hard it is to stand up there and give a testimony? They had a lot of courage. They did a great job. And just praising the Lord for that, you know. And then to be last week standing down on the streets of Kensington being a witness takes a lot of courage. And if you've never been down on Kensington Avenue, that is just drug central. And it's a real nasty place, you know. Have you ever had a time in your life where you, maybe it was in the middle of the night, there was a crisis or a death or there was an accident and you had to call a loved one, a family member, a friend, or someone that you know, and you had to say those words, I need you, come quick. Have you had those moments? That's what I would like our hearts to be thinking about as we come this morning to our communion time. Communion was given to us by the Lord. In fact, even as we are studying in John 15 about abiding in the vine and what that means and what it means to be a branch, dependent upon Jesus, who is the true vine. I mean, think about it. They had just left the communion table. They just left Passover. Passover was that reminder because Jesus told us that we as a church, as believers, are to gather together and constantly remind ourselves and bring into memory what Jesus did for us. This is a time whenever you needed the Lord. And whenever you come to communion, it should be a time when your heart cries, God, I need you. I need you. I need you for my life. I need you for my job. I need you for my kids. I need you for my husband, my wife. I need you for living for you. I need you for prayer. I need you for strength. I need you for guidance. I don't know what decision to make. This is that moment that allows us all to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. And I asked that question as I was thinking about the transition from communion into the vine, as Jesus is taking the disciples up to the Mount of Olives, to the top, to the garden where he's going to ask them to pray. That chapter 15, when he was talking about abiding, why is Jesus talking about grapes and gardens and growing? Why is Jesus doing that? Because the disciples were about to go through their hardest time, the biggest time of their discouragement, the biggest time of their crisis, where they know that it's coming. They're anxious. Let not your heart be troubled. Remember, they're anxious. They're fearful. They're not knowing what's going on, but they are going to go through the largest trial of their lives, and that's the events of the cross, and where all their dreams and hopes are going to be dashed. Whatever they believed about Messiah is not going to happen the way they thought it was going to happen. And they're going to see Jesus die, and then they're going to be hiding for their lives. And even though Jesus kept telling them, I'm going to raise from the dead, they didn't really, nobody of all the disciples really believed it until it happened. Everybody was a doubting Thomas at one point, not just Thomas. And until he rose again, until he revealed himself to them. So I wanted to take us back to, if you have in your Bibles, just crack them open to John 15 real quick. John 15. I wanna, as we go, we are just moments or hours before the cross, and I was thinking of the song, Near the Cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadow o'er me. Near the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. I'm reading to you from John 15, and I just want us to be thinking about what Jesus is saying. And again, I'm reading from the Passion Translation, so it's going to sound a little bit different, but you'll be able to follow along. I'll be telling you what verse I'm on, so you can follow. Verse 1, I am the true sprouting vine. Again, it's a definite article. I am the vine, the one and only, the specific vine. And it's also called the true vine to remind us of the genuineness of all that Christ was bringing. He was the genuine Son of God. He was the one and only, the way, the truth, and life. And he is bringing that to his disciples. And he says, I am the sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. And we know that he is a good Father. He cares for the branch, verse 2, connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch that doesn't yield greater harvest. That's verse 2 in the Passion. In other words, we've been learning that we depend on Jesus for everything. We need him. It's not the other way around. If you keep living your Christian life only calling on him when you need him instead of remembering you need him, you depend on him. He's the vine, you're the branch, not the other way around. You're going to have some problems in your Christian life. Do you know when you come to church, not everybody who comes into this room, you're allowed to have a bad Sunday morning. Do you know that? You're allowed to not want to come to church once in a while. I mean, not everybody that comes in here is filled with the joy of the Lord and we're all happy-go-lucky and we're all singing, I've got sunshine in my soul today. Okay? Listen. Some people come into this church and they hide it well and they come up to you and how are you doing? Fine. I hate that. Just be honest. You don't have to dump the whole truckload on me. You know, you don't have to say, oh, terrible. You know, you don't have to do that, but you could be honest. You could say, hey, I had a hard time getting here today, Pastor. I'm really struggling. Be praying for me, please. That's all you have to say. But it's okay to do that, because not everybody who comes in here, there are people who come in here who are lonely. There are people who are coming in here who are needy. There are people who are coming in here who feel defeated. They had a bad week. They felt a temptation over and over and over and over again. There are people who've come in here that don't think God is answering their prayers. There are people who've come in here that are just having a difficult time. It's okay. Your pastor gives you permission to come to church once in a while and not be up. But that's why we have communion. That's why Jesus says he's the vine, so we depend on him for our everything. And that's the reminder that I want to bring into our communion this morning. I want you to need Jesus for your everything. And that's the whole purpose of what we're doing. When we take the bread, it's to remind us that Jesus died for us. His body was broken for us so that he would be our sacrifice to satisfy the wrath of God and the punishment of all sin. And Jesus took that place for us, and we need to keep near him this morning. When you come, you don't take communion to save yourself or just to be a good person. You can't be. If you're men, you know, growing godly men, you can't make godly men just by your own will effort and your willpower to be good. And that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is, none of us can be good. And if you knew the real me, your hair would turn gray. If you knew the real need that's in my heart, because I'm a fallen sinner, my brother says it all the time, I'm a pile, and I know what he means, but it's true. We are broken in our sin, and Jesus takes our lives, and he redeems us and puts us back together again. And that's what we're remembering here. So as you're coming, you don't need to say, Jesus, I'm sorry that I'm not perfect. He already knows. But you're coming to say, Jesus, I need you. I need the Spirit of God. I need to learn to abide in you. I need the Word of God to help me. I need to grow stronger so that I can run and flee from the temptations. I need to be able to walk closer to you. Remember, our definition of abiding is this: to live a lifelong habit of staying closer, staying connected, staying cleaner, in order that you can practice Jesus daily and in his presence and trust him. Okay? And the three things that I want to just say until you get sick of it: stay closer to him, stay connected to him, and stay cleaner in him. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're here for. So let's do that, shall we? Father, I thank you so much for your body that was broken, symbolized by this wafer, this unleavened bread, because you were the perfect sacrifice. You had no sin in you, and yet you became the sacrifice for us so that our sins could be forgiven. And gentlemen, as you stand, Father, we just want to thank you for the reminder that you are our only Savior. We are undeserving, but thank you for rescuing us. And we praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and pass that out. one of the greatest rescue stories that I heard this week. It's the story of a pastor's son who was driving to school. He's driving his sister to school, and they were making a very difficult left turn through lights, and it went across, I think, a multi-lane division. And he was the point car that was supposed to turn left when the light gave him the signal. And he was watching, and he kind of slowly, you know how people are, you start honking at you. But he was just being cautious. He was a senior in high school, and he was taking the lane to the left really slowly. And this car came barreling out of one of the lanes and smashed into the telephone poles, and it threw it into the gas station where the car hit a gas pump. And an explosion didn't take place, but you know the danger. And there were four nurses in that car. And he immediately left his car in the middle of the intersection with the flashers on and ran over there. And he began, because everybody, you know, everything was deployed, he began to ask them if they were okay, but the gals in back couldn't get out of their seatbelts. So he's in there, and he happened to have one. He was kind of like a hometown boy. He had one of his knives with him. He ripped that out, that seatbelt, and got those nurses out of the back because they had to clear that wreckage. And he wasn't noticing what was going on. And she was bleeding, and she was cutting her forehead, and he was getting her back. And he went on to the other side and got the other girl out and was getting her back. And then he noticed only one other man had stepped up to help. And there were 100 people standing around them all doing this with their phones. And he yelled, "Won't anybody help?" No one stepped out of that crowd. That is the world we live in. Everybody is so preoccupied with themselves and their Facebook and the way things look. Nobody would step out to help. And when he was talking to his dad, this young man was in tears, literally in tears. And he said, "Dad, there are a bunch of..." He goes, "Son, go ahead and say what you want to say." And he cursed. He said, there are a bunch of..." He said, "Son, I am never in a situation like that ever going to rebuke you for that. Because how is it that we could be in a world where nobody was willing to rescue?" And we come this morning reminded that Jesus didn't hesitate a second for you and me. And he rescued you from your sin. And that's the Jesus that we are remembering this morning. As you are sitting here this morning, tell him how much you need him. Would you do that right now? Just in prayer, close your eyes and tell the Savior how much you need him. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, and after he gave the bread, he said, "Take and eat. This you do in remembrance of me." Remember his rescue. Go ahead and eat. Okay, now, while you're chewing on your cracker, give me a minute to tell you the story of what happened. So first thing, don't know when it happened. Everybody can't understand why the pastor never hears cars going through his fence. And right, Gary? And all these crazy things. And first, somebody goes, "Did you bust the pole, Pastor?" No, it wasn't me. And this is the third time that I can remember someone hitting her pole down here. Happened during the night, didn't hear it. When I got up this morning, I came down the driveway, and I actually did something I never do. I took the car, because I had to bring down the trash. Lori Lori said to me last night as I was going to bed, you really need to get that trash out. It's starting to smell. And I was too stubborn and tired to listen. So I said, I'll do it in the morning. So, well, as a good husband, I redeemed myself. I remembered. And so I was thinking, you know what? Last thing I need is there was a lot of food item and stuff in there. I don't want this to break out. So I'm just going to pop the trash can in my car. I'm going to drive down. I never do this on a Sunday morning. So I come down, and there's a tire in the middle of the bottom of the drive, just sitting there. And I stop the car, and I get out, and I look to the right, and at this pole on our property, there's a vehicle there. It's abandoned. It's a truck. It looked like it. If that's the tire for that truck, they obviously about hit the pole that's there because they were up against this pole. And so I thought somebody's in that truck. So I ran over. Everything was deployed, but nobody was in there. And I'm knocking. I'm making sure there's nobody in there. And there was nobody in there. And so then I'm like, what's going on? And there is a hat in 611. So the guy lost his hat. I don't know what happened. I picked up the hat, picked up the front fender that was off to the side, pulled it in, came over, and I picked up the tire. I'm picking up the tire, and there's a shock, and there's a piece of car, and there's the pole is snapped. I didn't even notice the pole yet. Okay, give me the benefit. It was 6 in the morning. It was still dark. Okay, at least give me that. And so I'm like, what happened here? What happened here? What, you know, isn't that so much like our world? So I got on the horn right away and texted the elders and sent out the message for the deacons at what happened. And I could see the glass and the debris everywhere and the pole hanging down and the wires down. And I texted Tom. I said, I'm not sure, you know, does anybody know about this? So he called state police. State police got me on the phone. And I'm trying to read the license plate, and I don't know the code. You know, I'm looking at it. It's ZTT. I don't know. Is that Zulu, Tommy, Tommy? What, you know, how do you read the letters? I don't know how to read the letters. And she goes, and she corrected me. She told me what it was supposed to be. And I was thankful for that. And then I did okay on the numbers. And then she's like, is he there? No. The guy left. He left the scene. Is he hurt? I don't know. His hat's in the road. You know? And then one of you had to say, I'm going to find him later in my garden up here laying. Thank you. But at least I'm a minister and I can do the last rites, right? Yeah, I can bury him. No, but all that to say, how many times do you go to church and the unexpected happens? You just didn't expect it. You know, that's the world we live in. That's Satan's always constantly working against us. And so I thought, well, thank you, Lord. This is a great illustration of why we need to stay closer, stay connected, and stay clean with Jesus. Because we need him. And so that's my illustration. And I love Samuel Ward, who was a Puritan, said, we who profess and hold the precious faith of Christ in truth, do we also make him our all in all? So that's why we take the cup. Gentlemen, if you stand. Our precious Father, we thank you so much for the cup that reminds us that your blood was shed for us and that your rescue was mighty to save. We thank you, Father, for this reminder that our sins are forgiven, that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, that we can find the precious forgiveness of Jesus over our lives. Help us, give us the strength we need to abide and grow in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Gentlemen, go ahead. Jesus said, this cup is my blood that was shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You may drink. Amen. I'm going to ask the praise team to come and lead us in our theme song for the year, Abide. And as we are closing, we are going to, deacons are going to hand out basket for deacon offering. And again, this is a benevolence offering that we use for those with needs in the congregation and in the community. So let's stand as we sing and close our service together.
My salvation and my honor depend on my God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Psalm 62:7.
For my waking bread, for my daily bread, I depend on you. I depend on you for the sun to rise, for my sleep. Still in front of me.
As we leave here today, the state police actually, because of the sight line coming down over this hill, because of the pole and the wire, you can't go out that north side. We just don't want you going out that way. So if you are going out the parking lot, we're all going out the south entrance way over here on this side. But the problem is people come over that hill so fast that the police put cones down through the center lines. It would be best if you just make a right turn, go up to Frogtown, take a right turn if you're going north, then come back down Church and hit 611 that way. That way we don't have people trying to cross over between the cones with the traffic coming across. I know that some of you guys, like Mark has his Mustang out there, and he can make it really fast, but just pray that we don't have any more incidents, okay? We just want everybody to go home safe today. So as you're going out, just be easier. Just go right. Just go right and find your way up 611 and do a repentance somewhere if you need to. Turn around and go the other way. So, but just leave safe, okay? All right. There was something else I was going to mention. Oh, yeah. Don't forget to stop and talk to all the Haycock Stand guys. Don't forget to give. There's a love offering out here. Don't forget to do that. And just the Lord bless us. Father, we thank you. Teach us to abide in you. It really is a discipline, and it really is a habit of our lives of staying closer, connected, and cleaner. As we walk in you by faith, a living faith, an active faith, that vital union that comes through the power of the Spirit of God, kind of being the sap of our life. And Father, we just give our lives to you to live for you this week ahead. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.